Are they big or small? Are you working toward achieving those goals now, or will you start in a couple of years? Let's talk about some of the things that might keep you from achieving those goals, like drugs and alcohol. You have big plans and cool dreams. Drugs? No thanks. They just hold you down.
Be under your own influence.
MyOwnInfluence.org.
Be a highway hero and help save lives. Never ride or drive impaired, or let your friends do it. Drivers, remember, watch out for motorcycles. This includes checking your blind spots before changing lanes, using extra caution when making a left-hand turn, and always using your turn signals. Riders, gear up with a DOT-compliant helmet and protective wear, because you aren't invincible. Drive and ride safe, so we can all enjoy the road, not hit it. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Coalition for Roadway Safety.
It is 8:32. This is Information Radio Quicks, Quicksland this morning for Friday, May 24th, 2019. And it's time for our weekly MoDOT program. Joining us in the studio is not only Brian Hafner, but also a new area engineer, Brian Unteed, both joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning.
Talk about a lot of things going on in the area as far as MoDOT goes, and of course, probably the big concern right now, flooding, a lot of water over a lot of the roads in the area, especially in low-lying areas. And let's just bring listeners up to date on what's going on with the roads so far.
Yeah, right now we got some major flooding along Mississippi, Missouri River, kind of long-term closures. But one of our big concerns, and really for driver safety, is when we get storms coming in like we do this weekend, there's going to be a lot of flash flooding. Grounds are saturated and the ditches are all full where the roads are going to, there's going to be some roads that are going to be flooded pretty quick. And we just want to give a reminder to the drivers. A lot of them in their local area kind of know the areas where the water goes over the road, but just remind people, don't drive through the water. If they do find water over the road and we don't have signs out yet, they can call into the 911 dispatch and let them know, and they usually make a swear. When it comes up that quick, it usually does take us a little bit of time to get out and get the signs up. So just because there's no signs, we want drivers to be cautious, especially at night when it's hard to see water over the road. If we get those heavy rains, take their time, make sure that they don't drive through the water. It's hard to tell how deep that is, and just a little bit of water can wash a vehicle off the road and get somebody in a bad situation. So just ask people to be aware of that this weekend and kind of pay attention to the weather and be careful as they're out and about on the roads.
Not only do you lose control of the car if it's up too high and trying to go through the water, the water may have washed out the road, and you can't really tell if it's been washed out there.
Yeah, a lot of times if that water's moving fast, the road might be washed out underneath of it, and what looks like it might just be a couple inches deep could be, you know, there could be a culvert missing on that road that they could drive off in there and roll the car over and be trapped in that water.
Obviously, as you mentioned, it's hard to get the signs out instantly when the water's coming up that quickly, and hard to mark all the detours as well. So folks kind of need to keep an eye on the MoDOT Traveler's map and keep an eye on their other maps and their GPS to make sure they've got a safe detour to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, as soon as we learn of these closures, we put them in our Traveler map. And like you said, there's so many closures that we can't mark a detour for every one of them. So drivers can use their Traveler map to get the up-to-the-minute closures on that, and then they can see which roads are closed and what roads that we know are open at that time and find their way around there and get a safe route to wherever they're trying to go.
I know you can't necessarily detect any damage while the road's still flooded, but historically, any idea of this type of spring, this type of water, how much damage are we maybe looking at once you finally can assess things?
Usually if it's just kind of normal flooding that we get, it's not too bad. It's maybe a little bit of rock to fix some shoulders up in areas. When we get the big torrential downpours, we do have culverts that wash out, like you said earlier, that completely can be gone where we have to replace the culvert. You know, in our larger rivers, some of them come up and they just kind of sit there, which isn't a lot of damage. But the Missouri River is a really fast-running river, and when it gets out of its banks and runs over the roads, it does a lot of damage that we have to fix, and some of the other rivers are like that we deal with, where that fast running water just works its way around there, and people see that in their yards. And just talking to a lot of property owners this year, people have seen places wash out that they've never seen wash out before with the weather we've had the past winter and the past spring. So
all right, so we'll remind our drivers to stay safe out there, and once again, not drive into those flooded areas.
Yep.
Talk about some of the upcoming projects that MoDOT will be working on this summer.
So there's one project really of interest to people in Moberly specifically, and that's South Moberly. We had a pretty rough winter, and it really worked on that part of the road, and we had a lot of potholes. And last time we were here, we had a plan for early May. We were going to get a large milling machine, take some of that destroyed pavement out and put some new stuff back in. And like all good plans, sometimes it, things happen, and we have some issues with the milling machine. So we want to update drivers on that, yeah, we still plan on working on that piece of road, but we're working on the milling machine and trying to get that fixed, and still have every intention of going out there and getting that fixed, but we got to have the good equipment, and we got to make sure that we do it right the first time. So we're getting that machine taken care of, and then we'll do that piece of road down there. So
how much of the road are you doing, maybe percentage-wise? Are you doing the entire thing? Are you doing where just the worst potholes are? Or maybe, I know the southbound lane seems to really have a ripple effect going south out of downtown.
Yeah, coming out there, I think from the four-way stop, there's a section, I think, about 600 to 1,000 foot long that we're going to mill that up, and we're going to put new pavement there. And there's, and like you said, in that southbound lane, there's a spot down further south that we're going to work on and get that. And then we're going to do some patches on the other spots on that. So it's not going to be a complete overlay, but we are going to get the worst of it and try to get that. And this is a fix to get us to our next major overlay in the area. So this is something that we're doing with our maintenance forces. But, you know, there's still in the future going to be a contract overlay. Not sure when that's going to be. That's probably further out. But, you know, this isn't going to be a 10 to 15 year fix. This is just to get us a couple years, 4 to 5 years down the road until we can do something a little bit more permanent.
I know money is tight, but looking long term, are you looking at four laning South Moberly the way North Moberly is, or are you looking just kind of redo that road the way it is now?
Right now, the plan is to redo that. But like I said, when kind of the planning process, the way that works is when we get ready for a project, we like to scope it and see, okay, is the scope just to overlay the road, or is the scope going to be, can we widen it out a little bit? Is the money there? Right now, as far as expansion, there's not a lot of money to actually build new lanes. You know, we can't go out there and do grading and buy right-of-way right now. You know, there are some processes that we can go through, like cost shares, item like that. There's also times where maybe the width is there that you can do some, when you overlay it, you maybe restripe it. But we haven't really scoped that project yet to know if that's an option. And, you know, funding, you know, 4 or 5 years out, when that comes along, it's pretty unknown right now. And so it's hard to make a commitment on that. But we know there's a need there. And I think one of the things we work with our city governments here and our regional planning council that we work with out of this area is, you know, let us know what your needs are. And we might not be able to get to everything, but if we know it's a need, it's something that at least we know that it's a concern for the local people here.
So public input matters. It's not just a traffic count. You look at a number, you get input, as mentioned, from city officials, I guess, from other travelers and maybe other things, other factors going just the number of cars on that road.
Yeah. Yeah. That input matters. And we rely heavily on our local officials, our regional planning council, and they help us set the priorities for what we're going to do in our district, in our area, and in the state, what's important. And, you know, there's some jobs where when safety's a factor, it's, yeah, we're going to prioritize safety. But, you know, all things being equal, it's the opinions of the citizens make a difference on how we make those decisions.
All right. Any other projects going on in the near area this summer that folks need to at least be aware of when they're driving so they don't cause an accident?
Oh, we were talking earlier, Route F is going to get a new surface this summer. I think it's going to be starting in May, so I want to give people on that. Is that an overlay, I believe, that Route F's going to be getting? So that'll be good for the people in that area. And just kind of give people an update. We've got the Champ Clark project over in Louisiana on the Missouri River. It's US 54. It's proceeding. We're still on time for it. The flooding has not helped. There's some certain critical things that we have to do to get that bridge open that we need the river to go down to do that and work in those bottoms and get the roadbed raised up. And until the river goes down and is safe that it's not going to flood when we're down there working on that, we're going to have to wait on that. So right now we're still still all right, but we're watching closely kind of the river and hoping that that's going to start going down and we kind of start missing some rain this summer. So.
And the one bridge at Quincy was closed for a while, I know, forcing traffic onto the other bridge and forcing folks down to Hannibal. Any damage, all long-lasting things that need to be fixed from that, or has the water gone down and things are back to getting back to normal there?
No, the water went down, and Illinois is actually the lead state on that bridge. They inspect it, and they went out before they opened it, and they removed some debris that had washed up against the bridge, you know, and took a look at it and were able to get it open. They're actually out there right now doing a yearly inspection that they do, and it was already scheduled before the flooding, so it actually was good timing that they could get in there and take a look at it right after the flooding and make sure that there wasn't any extra damage to it. So that bridge is open now. The river is coming back up, and we've got more rain in the forecast, so we'll watch that closely and work with Illinois, and if need be, we'll do what's safe for the drivers and close that. But they do got a good alternative and can use the other bridge there. Like you said, they can go down to Hannibal and do that. And it's just something that we're going to be monitoring until we get out of this flood event.
I know one project outside of your district but may impact traffic in this area is the Rocheport Bridge. It may force traffic onto 63 and 36 as a bypass when that's finally done. Are there things that your district has to do to help prepare the area for maybe an increase in traffic in a couple of years when that project's underway?
So when a job like Rocheport happens, it's really a statewide project, and there's a lot of coordination that comes out of Jefferson City for a project like that. And yeah, if there's going to be a major shift in traffic pattern, you know, there's a lot of communications between the districts to make sure that the other roads can take that. And we've coordinated with our central district or northwest district on some detours so everybody's aware that this extra traffic's coming and is going to be there. And it's kind of a good segue. We actually got a bridge closure on 63, and we're on that corridor up at the Iowa County line in Schuyler County that we've got closed now, and we coordinated with the Northwest District on that. We knew that once we closed that, traffic was going to have to find some ways around on 136 or Route 6 and make their way up into Iowa. And they actually got a closure on some of their routes that we're trying to coordinate with and make sure that we're not putting drivers in a bad position and sending them on one detour and hitting another detour and going around. So yeah, there's a lot of coordination on that. And as of now, the Rocheport Bridge, you know, it's going to be a really expensive project, and the funding's just really not there that we have in state to take care of it right now. We have put in for a grant, and hopefully we can get some good news on that. And if that does come through and we can get the funding to take care of that, that will be an impact on the interstate and how we do things here.
I imagine for a project like 63 there at the border, you have to coordinate with Iowa as well, not only for detours, but also to make sure your district and they're doing projects at the same time, so you're not closing the road and then they come in and close their part of the road a year or two later and really inconvenience motorists.
Yeah, that is one thing. And actually, our my counterpart up in the north area and some of our maintenance personnel just had a meeting with Iowa a couple weeks ago about, and it was about snow removal, just kind of planning for the next round of snow removal next year. But those things get discussed of, you know, what projects do you have coming up? And these are all corridors, and drivers don't see the borders of districts and state lines. They just know they want to get from Jefferson City up to Des Moines, and 63 is the road they take. And we try to make it as convenient and keep traffic flowing as well as possible.
All right. Anything else we need to let our listeners know about this month?
The other issue that we worked on here recently with Westran High School, we do seatbelt surveys of schools around the state annually, and unfortunately Westran has been one of the lowest in the state for quite some time. So our Northeast Missouri Coalition for Roadway Safety worked with Westran and spent about a week in there every day with different programs, games, things to get the kids interested in, teach them about the importance of buckling up, putting their phones down. We did a secret seatbelt survey the week before, and then the week after that week that our coalition folks were in there. And we did see from that an increase in seatbelt usage, so that's a really good thing. It's not perfect yet. They went from under 50% to about 66%, so they're getting better. We still need to work with those folks and schools around the area, because it's important for everybody to buckle up, but especially our teen drivers, as they're learning how to drive, to get them in that habit so that going forward, folks do wear their seatbelts. And, you know, we all know that wearing your seatbelt is the best way to survive in a car crash. Crashes happen. You know, you don't expect it, but if you're wearing your seatbelt, that does give you the best chance to walk away.
I know teens and probably adults too know in their heads and their minds that it's safer to have a seatbelt. It's trying to turn that into a habit, right?
That's exactly right. Just trying to get in that daily habit every time you get in the car. You know, at MoDOT, we've had a policy for a couple of years now that when you're in your vehicle, well, seatbelts have been policy for years and years. A couple of years ago, we added the put your phone down. We don't answer phone calls. We don't text. We don't use our phones while our vehicles are in motion. So, you know, through that process, for me personally, it's just habit. Every time I get in a vehicle, put your seatbelt on, put the phone down, focus on the task at hand, which is driving, getting yourself and any passengers safely from one place to the next. So it's about that habit. If we can get them started young, and even going earlier than high school, start talking to the kids while they're still in the earlier grades as well, to get them focused on that. You know, and you know, we've had some success there too with the younger kids. When they get in the car, they can tell their mom and dad, hey, y'all got to buckle up, because that's how you stay safe and keep us safe. So it's building that habit and getting everybody used to the wearing the seatbelts.
Oh, I know it's different than, 30, 40 years ago when I was a kid and we had a big old car. You just hop in the back seat. You didn't worry about buckling up. You buckled up in the front, but in the back, you're kind of in the big seat. But my daughter now today, the first thing she does when she gets in is buckles herself in. So obviously attitudes are starting to change on that, fortunately.
Yep, that's fantastic.
All right, anything else we need to let our listeners know today before I let you go?
You know, you mentioned the Traveler Info map earlier. That's a good way to keep informed about what's going on. Call 888-ASK-MODOT for any questions you have on the roadways. And this is going to be my last time here on Quix, and I just wanted to one thing that I need to really do is to say thank you to those guys in our maintenance building over here in Moberly and the ones around the area that, we come in all the time and talk about snow removal, and those guys are out there working 12-hour shifts and keeping our roadway safe. They're out there patching potholes. They're in traffic. They have a dangerous job. And I just want to give a shout-out, a thank you to all those guys that are out there working on our roads to keep travelers safe.
And we appreciate your help through the years, giving us great information when things are serious out there for drivers and making sure they shouldn't be on the road or to watch out for things going on out there.
Yep, thanks. That's what we're trying to do is just keep everybody safe.
Thank you. Ryan Hafner and Ryan Unteed from MoDOT, our guests. Thank you both for your time today.
Yep, thank you.
And we'll be back in a moment. We'll have Sergeant Eric Brown of the Highway Patrol talking about how busy the roads will be over the Memorial Day weekend, also about the law enforcement torch run going on this past week. That's coming up next here on Information Radio Quix.
Missed the game last night? Looking for the latest in Big K Sports? Then go to CentralMoInfo.com and click on Big K Sports, located under the Sports tab. You'll find information on your favorite teams and schools, including stories about the games, players, and of course, area scores, all brought to you by Farmers Insurance Jeff Freeman Agency of Moberly. See Farmers Insurance Jeff Freeman Agency at 210 North 4th Street in Moberly for your auto, home, and life insurance needs. Keep up with the latest in Big K Sports on Central.